The conference call is being recorded.
Stefan, the recording is up.
Thanks, Glenn. Welcome all to this GNSO Council meeting. Before we start the roll call, I just want to give you a message from staff telling you that I'm going to read this. It's going to be simpler. This is an email from Liz. Dear all,
thank
I'm pleased
so
to share that in a continuing effort to be responsive to the GNSO Council's pending work initiatives, we are augmenting our staff with some consulting assistance in the short term, 4 to 6 months, to help support working groups and related policy activities. Effective tomorrow, that's today, Barry Cobb will be joining the policy staff team as a consultant. We are also doing a bit of rearranging of staff to best cover various projects. I'll send a follow-up note in the next few days, and Barry is on the call today. Welcome, Barry. Thanks for helping out. And Glenn, if you can do a roll call, please.
Certainly. I will do that for you, Stefan. Thank you. Jeff Newman?
Present.
Jonathan Robinson?
Yes.
Ching Chow? Adrian Kinderis? I have no apologies either for Ching or for Adrian. Has anybody else?
Adrian did say he was not going to be on the call, and I believe a proxy was in the process of being done. So I hope that hasn't been missed. I would have to look over my emails to see who was being assigned as his proxy. But have you not received anything?
I've not, unless I've also missed it, Stefan.
We'll have to check that later.
Yes. Andrei Koleshnikov?
I'm here.
Zaid Jamil? Not on. John Berard?
Here. This is on. I was on mute. Here.
Thank you. Christina Rosette?
Present.
David Taylor?
Present.
Wolf Ulrich Knoben? He's not on yet. Jamie Wagner?
Present.
Rafik Damak?
Present.
William Drake?
Here.
Debbie Hughes?
Here.
Wendy Salsa?
Here.
Mary Wong? Mary's not on the call yet, but she holds a proxy for Rosemary Sinclair, who has sent her apologies.
Yeah, Mary is on the call. She's got sent a message saying her calls keep on dropping. So.
Oh, okay. We'll see to that. And Wolf Ulrich Knoben has just joined in the meantime.
Yes.
Olga Cavelli.
Present.
Carlos Aguirre. Carlos is on the line.
Yeah.
Probably on mute. Alan Greenberg.
Here.
Han Chan Lee is absent. And for staff, we have Marika Koenigs, Margie Malam, Rob Hogarth, Kurt Pritz, Liz Gaster, Barry Cobb, Brian Peck, David Olive, Julie Headland, and myself, Glenda Saint-Jacques. If I've left
and,
off
this
anyone...
This is Tim Ruiz. I joined the call as well. And I was informed that I'm holding Adrian's proxy, but perhaps I'm not. I don't know. Anyway, that's what I was told.
Thank you very much, Tim.
You missed me out as well, Glenn.
I'm sorry, Stefan. Yes, I did indeed.
I've got confirmation from Mason Cole, who's the registrar stakeholder group chair, that Tim is supposed to hold Adrian's proxy and that a form was filled in.
Thank you very much.
That can be investigated.
I'll look at that, yes.
Thank you. Thanks for doing that, Glenn. We have no statement of interest updates. Does anyone want to amend any of the agenda items at this point? Hearing nothing, you have the previous meeting's minutes with a link there, and the link is not yet on the agenda, but that will be updated very soon. I'll very quickly go over the on item 2, the pending projects list, and the updates to our pending projects. As you can see, we have considerably cut down on our GNSO activities. We've gone from 10 to 6, with a number of activities removed as listed on the agenda. Other activities is more or less constant. We have we've moved up from 9 till 10. We've added the FIC who it is. Joint working groups, we're still on the same count at 7. We've removed an RAA working group and added the Red Cross and Olympic Committee working group. And there's no change to the outstanding recommendations. Any questions or comments on item 2? In that case, hearing none, we will move to item 3. The next three items are on motions that were deferred from the previous meeting. The first one is on the Who Is Survey drafting team, and it was made by Wendy Seltzer, seconded by John Berard, and I believe from the latest email traffic that I've seen that there was a slight error, and that was picked up by Wolf, I believe, and a friendly amendment was proposed to correct that. Is that correct, Liz?
Yes.
So can I ask Wendy and John if you consider Wolf's amendment friendly?
This is Wendy. I do. Thank you.
Thank you, Wendy. John?
Yeah, oh, yes. Good for me.
Thank you. In which case, I will ask Wendy if you can read the motion.
Shall I read just the resolved clauses?
There's only one resolve clause. If you can read the whole motion, it's a bit long. Whatever you prefer.
I was seeking to conserve council's time, so as you prefer. I can read the whole.
No problem. And just a little.
All right. So this is the motion to approve the charter for the Who Is Survey Working Group. And resolved that the GNSO Council convenes a Who Is Working Survey Working Group, WSWG, of interested volunteers to draft, implement, and analyze the results of a survey measuring the level of support for various technical requirements outlined in the final inventory of Who Is Service Requirements Report of 29 July 2010. The GNSO Council further approves the proposed charter for the Who Is Survey Working Group as defined here, URL WSWG Charter, 12 September 2011. In accordance with this charter, the Who Is Survey Working Group plans to produce a draft survey to be delivered to the GNSO Council for approval by March 2012. Following approval, the Who Is Survey Working Group plans to then conduct the survey for a period not less than 30 days, delivering a draft report describing survey results and recommendations for next steps to the GNSO Council by October 2012.
Thank you, Wendy. Is there any questions, discussion on this motion? And I see Wolf.
Yes, hi. Wolf speaking. I have a question to Wendy. It came to my mind when I just 2 hours ago went through the motion, and the next motion done by Zahid includes something which refers to this working group and the chartering of this working group, I think, because it's dealing with something which is asked that the working group should take over. My question is to Wendy, did the chartering team took that into consideration, or is that new for you? You know, this is the one which is the resolved means resolved that the that the Who Is Service drafting team should consider the issue of who is access as part of the survey. So that is meant in the next motion. So if that, that's my question. Is that a part of which could be included in the charter, or hasn't that been discussed, and is it up for discussion? That's my question.
I believe if this motion were passed, I'm sure the issue would come before the group. I'm not sure whether it in this state it's yet been discussed.
I think Liz may be able to help out.
Thanks, Stefan. It actually is basically already identified in the Who Is Service Requirements Report of 2010 as one of the items that, you know, has been discussed in previous policy discussions that would likely have been in the survey, included in the survey anyway. So Wendy's right. We would just add, assuming the motion was passed, we would just add a note to the survey working group to ensure that the access element is definitely included in the survey, but I think it is it is part of the inventory that would already have been included anyway. But we can be more expansive in the survey because the terminology for access in the report is also related to accuracy as well as actual sort of access to the data from a technical perspective. I think it's covered.
Thanks, so, Liz. Wolf, is that okay?
Just a question. So that means that it doesn't matter whether it is in a motion, in the following motion or not. It's anyway, it's covered.
Yeah, that's how I'll check right now, but I'm almost positive it's in. In fact, I am positive it's in the service requirements report. It's probably not even necessary. But I think it's a good idea because it directly references the other report that specified the access and the terminology, the intent of the term access, which can be defined in different ways. So I think it is helpful but not essential for that language in order for the survey team to look at that issue.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Thanks to you both. Any further questions or comments? Hearing none, would anyone be opposed to a voice vote on this motion? Hearing no opposition, Glenn, please carry out a voice vote.
I will, Stefan, thank you. All those who are in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 Is anyone opposed to the motion? Would anyone like to abstain from the motion? Hearing no one abstaining nor opposing the motion passes unanimously, Stefan, in both the contracted party's house and the non-contracted party's house.
Thank you very much, Glenn. And we'll move on to item 4, which is another motion that was deferred from the previous meeting. This motion is moved by Zahid Jamil, and I don't have a second. Has someone seconded this, Glenn? And have I missed it?
And I've also missed it, if someone has, but I haven't seen anybody.
Christina is willing to second the motion. She has just said so on the chat. Thank you for doing that. So we have a motion that has been duly seconded, and it contains a number of resolved clauses. We will consider each resolved clause separately and vote on each separately and discuss each separately. So with that, Zaid, could I ask you to read the first resolve, please?
Yes, that's right. The first resolve is, just one second, scrolling down. Resolve, the GNSO Council thanks the ICANN Compliance Department for its feedback in relation to Who Is Access Recommendation Number 2 and determines that no further work on this recommendation is needed. The GNSS accounts will welcome the commitment of the ICANN Compliance Department to report on compliance activities and publish data about who is accessibility on at least an annual basis, and there's a link to that. Second resolve.
Hang on. Let's take each one in turn. Any comments or questions on this, the first resolve? Seeing or hearing none, is anyone opposed to a voice vote on this first resolve? Hearing no opposition, Glenn, please do a voice vote on this one.
I will, Stefan, and can I just check that this is a majority vote of both houses?
Yes.
Thank you. All those in favour of the resolve clause number one, please say A.
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 By Babalary.
Is anybody opposed to the resolve clause number one? Would anybody like to abstain from this clause? Hearing no abstentions and nobody opposed to the resolve clause number one, Stefan, it passes unanimously in both houses.
Thank you, Glenn. Zahid, could you please read the second resolve?
Thank you, Stefan. The second resolve is... Resolve, the GNSS Council thanks the ICANN Compliance Department for its feedback in relation to fake renewal notices recommendation number one and determines that no further work on this recommendation is needed.
Thank you, Zahid. Any questions or comments? Any opposition to a voice vote? I'm sorry, who was that speaking?
This is Jamie Wagner.
Jamie, are you opposed to a voice vote?
No, the problem is that I just got back from that back. I was disconnected. And this is the REA. We are
looking at motion number two on the wiki. This is the second resolved.
Sorry.
And we are about to vote, and if you're not opposed to a voice vote, we will ask Glenn to do one, please.
I am confused because the ISPCT had asked for a deferral for one of the RAA.
It wasn't the RAA. It's a different one, Jamie.
Okay. Excuse me. I lost connection and got lost.
Yeah, no problem, Jamie, at all. And I see Christina has...
Yeah, I just wanted to raise a point of order. I think it's a point of order. Mary is asking in chat whether she can vote via chat because she apparently is not able to dial in or hear or otherwise communicate by phone.
Okay, thanks. I missed that. Apologies to Mary. So is that possible, Glenn?
Can
you vote by chat?
Guys, I just dialed back in. Hopefully you can hear.
Right. Yes, you are on, Mary. Thank you. And you are holding the proxy for Rosemary. Yes.
Okay. So let's do a voice vote on this resolve, please.
All right. All those in favor of resolve clause number two, please say aye.
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 Is anybody opposed to the resolve clause number two? Would anybody like to abstain from the resolve clause number two? Hearing no abstentions and no opposition to it, it passes unanimously, Stefan.
Thank you, Glenn. And Zahid, please, could you read the next resolve?
Thank you, Stefan. The next resolve is resolved. The GNSS Council determines that additional information is needed from the state registrar stakeholder group with regard to conditional fake renewal notices. Recommendation number two, before an issue report should be requested of staff. The GNSS Council hereby requests that the registrar stakeholder group provide further information and data on the nature and scope of the issue of fake renewal notices to help inform the GNSS Council and its RAP REP working group deliberations on whether an issue report would be requested, a small group of volunteers consisting of registrar representatives and other interested, and in parenthesis, including former REPWG members, close parenthesis, should be formed to prepare such a request, work with the registrar stakeholder group to obtain the information requested, and report back to the Junosa Council accordingly.
Thank you very much, Zahid. And this is still a 50-50 threshold. There is no request for an issues report here. Does anyone have any questions or comments on this resolved, please?
This is Tim.
Yes, Tim.
I just wanted to just reiterate what I said last time, and that is just want to be clear that the registrar stakeholder group itself doesn't have any of this data. It would have to be collected from registrars who would cooperate with the work. So as long as that's understood that, you know, there's no guarantee of how much data or the quality of the data or if any data on this can actually be collected. We just want to make sure we set the expectations correctly. Don't object to giving this a shot, but just want to make sure that's understood.
Thank you, Tim. Any further comments or questions? Is anyone opposed to a voice vote? I'm sorry.
Sorry, Stefan. This is Zahid. I just wanted to say that I just want to thank Tim for that clarification. I don't think that would be a problem, and it's useful to have that clarification. It shouldn't be an issue going forward with the vote on that.
Thank you, Zahid. Any further comments? Anyone opposed to a voice vote? Len, please do a voice vote.
All those in favor of the resolved clause number 3, please say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Bye-bye, baby.
Although, is anybody opposed to the resolved clause number 3? Is anybody wanting to abstain from it? Hearing no abstentions and no opposition to the resolved clause number 3, Stefan, it passes unanimously.
Thank you, Glenn. Thanks, Glenn. And Zahid, back to you.
Thank you, Stefan. Resolved, with regard to the recommendation on meta issue, collection and dissemination of best practices, the Genus or Council acknowledges receipt of and determines to defer its consideration until it evaluates the outcome of malicious use of domain names recommendation number 1. Which aims
Zahid,
to develop best practices. I'm sorry,
say
that again?
I think you missed one of the resolved. The next one I have was in response to who is
right.
Access recommendation
resolved.
Number
in 1. Response, who is access recommendation number 1, the GNSO Council requests the WHOIS survey drafting team to consider including the issue of who is access as part of the survey it has been tasked to develop. If the WHOIS survey drafting team is of the view that it is not appropriate or timely to include who is access as part of the survey, should inform the GNSO Council accordingly so that the GNSO Council can determine what next steps, if any, might be appropriate at this stage in relation to this recommendation.
Thank you, Zahid. Let me ask the Council, this is a long process. All these resolved have the same threshold apart from the third to last one, which requests an issues report. Would anyone be opposed to me asking Zahid to read through all the resolved apart from that one and for us to consider all the rest of the resolved that have the same threshold in one vote, just in the interest of time? Hearing no opposition to that, Zahid, could I ask you to do that? So read them all apart from the third to last one, which we'll consider in a separate vote.
Fine. Resolved, with regard to the recommendation on meta-issue collection and dissemination of best practices, the GNSO Council acknowledges the receipt of this recommendation and determines to defer its consideration until it evaluates the outcomes of malicious use of domain names recommendation number 1, which aims to develop best practices to help registrars and registries address the illicit use of domain names. In light of the pending request to staff to develop a discussion paper on the malicious use of domain names, the GNSO Council believes that the upcoming review and analysis of this discussion paper may serve to inform the Council of the issues related to the meta issue, collection and dissemination of best practices recommendation. Then there's the next one. Resolved, In regard to the recommendations on cross-TLD registration scam and domain kiting or tasting, the GNS or Council Chair shall communicate to the Security and Stability Advisory Committee, SSAC, the findings of the RAPWG in this regard and request that the SSAC consider evaluating and or monitoring these abuses. If the SSAC elects to conduct this work, the GNS or Council requests that the SSAC inform the GNS or Council if it believes that further policy work by the GNS or Council should be undertaken to address these two types of abuses. In addition, the GNS Council suggests that the issue of cross-TLD registration scam be included in the agenda of its next meeting with the CCNSO Council, since this type of abuse may also affect CCTLDs. If I'm not mistaken, the next one is the issues report. No, it isn't. Resolved. In response to the recommendation on meta-issue uniformity of reporting, the GNS Council acknowledges receipt of this recommendation and hereby request the ICANN Compliance Department to report on existing systems to report and track violations and or complaints, improvements or changes made since the RAPWG report or foreseen in the near future, and identify gaps and any improvements that might be desirable but not foreseen at this stage. Further consideration of this meta issue, including the recommendations and considerations of the RAPWG in this regard, is deferred pending receipt of such information from the ICANN Compliance Department. Next resolve. Resolved in response to the recommendation on uniformity of contract.
That one is the issues report, so we'll skip that one for now.
Skipping that one. Resolved. In response to the recommendations on gripe sites, deceptive and oblique or offensive domain names, recommendation number 2, and cyber squatting recommendation number 2, since the RAPWG did not achieve consensus on these recommendations, the GNS Council defers undertaking further policy work on these recommendations at this time. And the last one, resolved. In response to gripe sites, deceptive and or offensive domain name recommendation number 1, the GNS Council acknowledges receipt of this recommendation and agrees with the RAPWG that no further action is called for at this time.
Thanks for going through all that, Zahid. That's much appreciated. Does anyone have any comments or questions on these resolved clauses? Hearing none, would anyone be opposed to a voice vote on those resolved? Glenn, could you please do a voice vote on those resolved clauses?
I will indeed. Anybody, those in favour of the resolved clauses that have just been read, please say aye.
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 Is anybody opposed to the resolved clauses that have just been read? Would anybody like to abstain? Hearing no abstentions and no opposition, Stefan, they have all passed.
Thank you very much, Glenn. And this leaves me with just one thing to ask you, Zahid, and that is the third to last resolved, please.
Did you say the first as well? Should I just read that out as well? Okay.
No, just the third to last one. I think we've done
right.
All the rest.
Yeah, okay, great, got it. Resolved, in response to the recommendation on uniformity of contracts, the GNS Council requests an issue report to evaluate whether a minimum baseline of registration abuse provisions should be created for all in-scope ICANN agreements. If created, how such language would be structured to address the most common forms of registration abuse.
Thank you very much, Zahid, and I will remind you all that this has a different threshold. It requires 25% of both houses or a majority of one house. Jeff, you have a question.
No, not a question, but just a statement that the registry is going to be voting no to this because, you know, we opposed it during the working group process. We don't think this is an issue of uniform language in a contract. This is issues with behaviors, and we're working, and all of us work to curb those abusive behaviors. And whether the language in the contract is the same or not, that doesn't really matter. So we don't think we should be concentrating on wording of a contract in this instance. And so we're going to be voting no in this. And again, this is just want to remind everyone that of all of the things in this motion, all the other resolve clauses that we passed, and all of the things that we acted on had unanimous support on. This one did not. And so, again, we're going to vote no.
Thank you very much, Jeff. Any further comments? Seeing or hearing none, because of this different threshold, would someone like to do a roll call vote on this, or is everyone okay with a voice vote?
I think since we're going to have at least three no votes, we should probably do a roll call.
Okay. Glenn, could we please move
yes.
forward with a roll call vote on this?
I'll do that with pleasure, Stefan. Ching Chow.
No.
David Taylor.
Yes.
Wendy Seltzer.
Yes.
Jonathan Robinson.
No.
Wolfley Knobin?
Yes.
Mary Wong?
Yes.
Rafik Demak? Rafik is on mute, I believe.
Yes.
William Drake?
Yeah.
Zay Jamil?
Very surprising, yes.
Debbie Hughes?
Yes.
Mary Wong for Rosemary Sinclair, please.
Yes.
John Berard?
Yes.
Christina Rosette?
Yes.
Jamie Wagner?
Yeah.
Stefan van Gelder?
No.
Adrian Kinderis, Tim Ruiz for Adrian Kinderis, please.
No.
Tim Ruiz for Tim Ruiz, please.
No.
Andrei Koleshnikov?
Yes.
Jeff Newman?
No.
Olga Cavelli?
Yes.
In the contracted party's house, we have 13 yes votes. In the non-contracted party's house, we have 6 votes against and 1 vote for. So the
I
issue...
think you got the houses.
That's the other way.
Sorry. For the contracted party's house, we have 6 no votes.
Пожалуйста, на линии.
And 1 yes vote. And for the non-contracted party house, we have 13 votes in favor. So
I believe the motion passes. The resolved passes.
The resolved
passes. Thank you, Glenn. And thanks to you all for bearing with us through that long motion. We will now move to item 5 on our agenda, which is the motion that was another motion that was deferred from the September the 22nd meeting. This is a motion made by Tim Ruiz and seconded by Carlos Aguirre. This was amended by Tim, and it is a motion on law enforcement assistance and addressing criminal activity. And I will ask Tim to read the motion for us before opening it up for discussion. Tim, if you would, please.
Sure. Whereas the Registrar Stakeholder Group
has consulted extensively with representatives of international law enforcement agencies regarding the nature of Internet-based criminal activity and the information and tools available to help address crime that involves the domain name system. And whereas the Registrar Stakeholder Group has reviewed law enforcement proposals and requests regarding registrar cooperation in addressing online crime, and whereas the GNSO Council is prepared to assist law enforcement in its long-term effort to address Internet-based criminal activity, resolved, the GNSO Council requests an issues report on the following possible policy revisions and or additions. One, ICANN-accredited registrars must provide to ICANN staff, and ICANN staff must keep on record a valid physical address for the purpose of receiving legal service. This record must include a valid street address, city, appropriate region, telephone number, and fax number. Registrars must publish this information on their respective websites and must notify ICANN staff and update their published addresses within 30 days of a change of address. Two, ICANN-accredited registrars must provide to ICANN staff, and ICANN staff must keep on record the names of each registrar's respective corporate president, vice president, and secretary, or the appropriate equivalents of those positions. These data may be made available upon request to a verified representative of a law enforcement agency in a manner agreed to by ICANN staff, ICANN-accredited registrars, and representatives of law enforcement agencies. Registrars will notify ICANN of any changes in this information within 30 days of the change. Three, ICANN-accredited registrars must publish on their respective websites email and postal mail addresses to which law enforcement actions may be directed. The email address will use a uniform convention. Example, enforcement at example.tlt, to facilitate ease of use by law enforcement agencies. Registrars may, at their individual discretion, include language in this section of their websites directed to the general public that makes clear the use and expected outcomes of these points of contact and identifies the appropriate points of contact for other forms of business. Requests submitted by verified law enforcement agencies to this discrete point of contact must receive an acknowledgement of receipt from the registrar within 24 hours. Four. Law enforcement agencies provide within 6 months of the date of approval of this policy by the ICANN board and via the general advice of the GAC to the board their recommendations for a database and identification system that allows for expedient identification to a registrar of a law enforcement agency and verification of the contacting party as a law enforcement agency upon that agency's first contact with the registrar.
Thank you, Tim. Is there any discussion on this motion? This motion does call for an issues report, so the voting threshold is the same one as the one we've just done, which is 25% of both houses or a majority of one. And I have Wolf.
Yes.
And Zahid in the please, thank you.
Okay.
Wolf speaking. Tim, just a question. I would like to understand the background of this motion and what you did in advance before you put this motion on the table here. Is it a target, an object, let me say, of this motion, to keep criminal activity, internet-based activity, as low as possible? I mean, is that a future target on this? This is the first question, and the question is then, how do you see these measures could help then to lower and to keep it as low as possible?
For this motion is the desire to help law enforcement officials with their concerns about criminal activity on the Internet. How far will these particular devices go to improve that? You know, I don't know. I think that, you know, not as far as probably law enforcement would like. There are several other things that they requested in addition to this. What these are those that we feel are minimally controversial and things that we can hopefully get implemented fairly quickly. And a lot of it has to do with just being able to enforce contactability with registrars, because part of the problem has been that some are not responsive There's no way to contact anybody. They don't reply. And so that seems to us to be like kind of a first step. You know, we have to resolve that problem if we're going to really, resolve the other issues that exist. So that's kind of our motivation here. It's not everything that law enforcement would like or need, but it's the first step.
Okay. Thanks, Tim. And there's lots of questions on this. Before going down the queue, I should point out that I sent a message just before this call. I forwarded a message on this motion from Heather Dryden, the GAC chair, and just pointing that out in case some of you have not seen it. I have Christina next.
Sure. Thanks, Tim. Just as a courtesy to let you know that the IPC is going to be voting against the motion. It does not have the support of law enforcement, which we think is important to have in a motion that is got the intended purpose that you've identified. And moreover, we are concerned about the absence of any other action on the remaining law enforcement RAA amendment recommendations from which certain of those suggestions were taken.
Yeah, this is Tim. I it's kind of too bad because while law enforcement doesn't support this motion, perhaps, the things it's recommending are taken directly from their list of things. Or others from things that were in discussions with law enforcement that they felt were necessary. So that part is true. And to say, well, we're going to wait until we can solve everything at once, then I think we're going to be waiting for a long, long time. So some movement needs to start being made where this is the one we felt we could, these are the ones we felt we could get to rather quickly. We tried some other processes, code of conduct, best practices. We weren't getting anywhere with the registrars as a whole in agreement on those things, and we could see it taking a long, long time. So we felt this was the quickest way to get some things done and to start making some moves towards solving those problems. But if we want to wait till we can solve them all at once, I guess that's what we'll do, but, it'll probably be way beyond any of our lifetimes, I'm afraid.
Thanks, Tim. I have Zahid next.
Thank you, Stefan. Let me just say on behalf of the VC, we actually appreciate the proactive nature of the registrar trying to do something in favor of, trying to curb crime on the DNS, et cetera. But initially we were very, it was good to see this sort of emotion. The trouble is that when we speak initially to law enforcement as well, we find that there seems to be limited support or very little support for this motion for various reasons. Now, we will be seeking a deferral of this, so I think that may help with moving forward today on a procedural matter. But at the same time, I just wanted to say it may be useful for the registrars to provide more information on what is the difference between the gap between what it is that law enforcement is asking for and that the registrars are offering in this motion. What it may do is give many of us who may not be so intimately aware of what the issues are all about the ability to decide on how to vote on this, and it may be useful to try and bridge that gap as well. So it's a positive step, but we would like to see sort of law enforcement backing this up if it's possible, and today we'll be requesting a deferral because the BC wants to sort of, within its members, discuss some of this. Thanks.
Thank you, Zahid. Before I move down the queue, I have to ask the council if anyone is opposed to this being deferred once again. I will remind the council that this motion was deferred from the September the 22nd meeting. We do have a practice of allowing one deferral. We generally do not allow multiple deferrals, but if the council is not opposed to that, perhaps we can entertain the BC's request. So with that, can I ask if there is any opposition to this motion being deferred once again?
This is Tim. I object. I think, if we're going to make our goal here is to try to start getting something done. So to just keep deferring this motion, it just keeps deferring any other activity towards trying to solve some of these problems. So I would really appreciate a vote on this today. Then if it gets voted down, then we know that, the council isn't interested in doing policy development on those aspects that are actually within the picket fence. Because that's really what it boils down to is law enforcement's biggest objection to this, as far as we understand it, and anything they've said to us, is that they don't like the idea that it's going to become a PDP because it's going to take so long. Well, you know, unfortunately, we are part of a multi-stakeholder environment. And, you know, that means that items that these issues that should be part of a policy development process where the entire community gets to contribute, you know, that's part of what we do. And as the council, we should be protecting that. And that these things, could we just take them and go into some negotiation in the RIA and implement them directly? Probably, but is that appropriate? I don't think so. I think things that fall within the picket fence belong with the council in a PDP. And so that's why they're here. But delaying this further, I don't think is going to solve anything, because law enforcement doesn't want a PDP. That's our understanding. So whether it's today or later, they're not going to be in support of it.
Thank you.
Can I respond a question on that?
Yes, please. But we will not be deferring the motion as there's been opposition to doing so.
Understood. I just wanted to sort of say, Tim, that I understand if the issue simply is that they don't want a PDP, then that's something it is possible for us to take back to members and maybe, you know, come back with some sort of a different voting instruction on this. But if it is substantive, then that would help if the registrar could, you know, community could sort of inform us as to what the differences are, because it'll help in possibly some of us on this call to give a positive vote for something like this. So that's why the deferral is being requested, to get a better understanding of the issue, because as you know, this is simply a motion that's been made by registrars. It's not a bottom-up process. It's not a working group that has brought all this to the council. So that was the thinking behind seeking a deferral, to help, actually. It's not to negotiate vis-a-vis the or quid pro quo vis-a-vis the RAA. Just wanted to clarify. Thanks.
Right, and just, you know, to point out that issues reports are never a bottom-up process, are they? Issue reports come from usually one stakeholder group or from the, you know, they could come from the board. And, you know, we had one a while back that came from ALAC. Issues reports, this is a request for an issues report. It isn't going to begin at PDP. After the issues report is created, then the PDP can be considered. And it isn't, you know, and we can't come to some conclusion on the policy here either. This motion kind of looks the way it does because we were trying to take a different route to getting something done quickly, and that didn't go over so hot. So now we're trying to do this the right way, and I think it's ultimately what we should have done, and that is to request an issues report and start the PDP process. But as far as I know, you know, I don't think there's ever been a bottom-up process for creating issues reports. That's the beginning of the bottom-up process. It starts at the bottom with one stakeholder group or interest, and it goes from there.
Thanks, Tim. And can I just confirm that in the light of Rahid's answer, you are maintaining your opposition to second deferral?
Yes.
Thank you. Can I ask the remaining people in the queue to try and be brief? Time is moving fast. I have Bill next.
Okay. excuse me. A number of different concerns are being raised by people in the non-commercial stakeholder group about this, and we were just wondering if we could have a little discussion on a couple of points quickly. One is, reading backwards, the bit in Resolve 4 about law enforcement agencies being told to provide something, whether that's an entirely appropriate thing for the council. Another question was whether or not anybody anticipates any potential impacts on freedom of expression type concerns in countries where the law enforcement agencies may perhaps be working with a somewhat unpleasant government when you require disclosure of all this information on the website and so on. So I'd be interested. I don't really know much about how the registrar market is working in Iran and elsewhere, but I'd be interested in hearing from registrar people if they have looked into those kind of concerns, and we're wondering whether there shouldn't possibly be an amendment to address those kinds of concerns.
Thank you, Bill. Tim, do you have an answer?
Yeah, just quickly. I think, those things have been discussed, and I think there are still concerns for some registrars. And that's why we one of the reasons, many reasons, why this is now, a request for an issues report to start a PDP process. And during that process, while there may be some, here's sort of a solution that may need to be tweaked through that PDP process. And I don't think we intend to imply that wouldn't happen or that couldn't happen during a policy development process, or based on things that staff might find or point out in the issues report. So I don't think we need to look at all these as foregone conclusions. That they unfortunately worded that way.
Thank you, Tim. Alan.
Thank you. I'm a bit mystified by all this. The when Tim originally brought this up, I thought this was going to be one of the ones that I think the expression we normally use is a slam dunk, that everyone was simply going to say yes. In the last set of RAA amendments, most users very strongly and vehemently demanded that this kind of things, and specifically that registrars identify themselves with a street address and real contact information, there was general dissatisfaction, particularly in the user groups, both the commercial and non-commercial, that this was not being included. So I really don't understand why there's opposition to starting the discussion, and that's all we're asking for at this point. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Jonathan.
Listen, I guess this is my personal perspective. I think it's commendable that the registrars, while it might not be what everyone would like, have come forward with a pragmatic and incremental improvement. So I'm struggling a little bit to see why. I mean, I actually have some sympathy with the need for discussion, although deferring things inevitably causes problems. But really, my sentiment is this is a potentially a pragmatic, incremental improvement that I would have thought we should, as a council, grab with. It's good for us, good for the industry to show this willingness to move forward. I'm surprised in many ways that as a council, we don't simply grab it with both hands and say thanks a lot, move on. Sure, there could be better, perhaps incremental improvements, but this is a step in the right direction.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Thanks.
Wendy.
Thank you. In resolving what to do with the results of an issues report, it would be critical to non-commercial to know about the impacts on freedom of expression. I wonder if Tim and Carlos would consider, as a friendly amendment, resolve number 5, that the issues report should include a freedom of expression impact analysis of the issues raised by raised here.
Can you?
This is Tim. I would accept that as friendly, yes.
And that chain has been captured.
This is Enrica. No, if Wendy can maybe just post in the chat exactly what you would like to add and where, I'll add that to the motion.
Thank you. And Carlos, did you understand the change? Would you be would you agree that it's friendly?
Yes, that sounds good for me.
Thank you very much. John?
I would like to offer a friendly amendment as well, which would be to delete the third whereas. The GNFL Council is prepared to assist law enforcement in its long-term effort to address Internet-based criminal activity. I was opposed to the passage of the Patriot Act when it passed in Congress here, and I don't think we want to be so wide open. I think we should take a look at these things as they come. I'm particularly concerned that we open up too wide an aperture, or too wide an opening for this kind of thing.
Thank you, John. Tim, would you be opposed? Would you consider the deletion of the said whereas as a friendly amendment?
Yes, I would, as long as it's understood that it's not I don't completely understand John's sentiment, so while I can be sympathetic to that and want to remove it, I don't want to imply that we necessarily agree with it completely.
But Tim, my point is I'm prepared. I believe that we're prepared to assist law enforcement in and on these matters. But I have no idea what matters law enforcement in any of its incarnations might seek our help on in the future, and I would like not to be on the record as having said that we're prepared to assist in a broad way.
Okay, so, and I accept that as friendly.
Thank you very much. Carlos, do you?
Yes, for me.
Thank you very much. And just checking that Marika is able to capture that in the Adobe. That would be deletion of the third whereas, Marika. Thank you very much. Christina.
Sure. I just wanted to follow up in response to Alan's point, because I can assure you we would very much like to support a motion that would set the law enforcement, the LEA recommendation, on the road to implementation. But unfortunately, this just isn't the motion. There's no plan for addressing, and frankly, no real explanation with any detail as to what's happened to the other law enforcement recommendations. There's no explanation as to why the recommendations that have been modified and incorporated into this motion have been modified the way they have. I'm still, and frankly, our constituency is still not clear as to why something as simple as having a registrar's physical street address on its website requires a PDP, and frankly, there's no expression of support from any law enforcement agency. And if any of those things were different, and frankly, if all of those things were different, I can assure you that we would be wholeheartedly supporting this motion. But that's not the motion we're voting on, and so that's why we're not supporting it.
Thank you, Christina. I have Alan next, and then I'd like to close off the queue and proceed with the vote.
Thank you. Just in response to that, I'll point out this is a request for an issues report. Our current process says that there will be a comment period following the publication of the preliminary issues report. There will be opportunity for law enforcement or other groups to comment on it, and all that does is start the process, not decide on what the actual outcome is. There's going to be plenty of opportunity to comment and refine or reject it for that matter, but not passing this right now, since we are delaying for an undefined amount of time, even starting the process. Thank you.
Thank you, Ryan. Thanks.
Stefan, I know I'm not on the Adobe Connect, but can I make a short comment?
Yes, please.
Thank you. Looking at this resolve the way it's structured at the moment, this means that an issues report will go forward on only the three or four identified areas in the resolve. And there may be other things that many of us who are at the moment uninformed as to what needs to be done in this area, at least I am uninformed, may be leaving out. And I'm just thinking, are we running with this? And if we later on when we go back and everybody has a chance to look at this and say, well, you know, we missed like six or seven other issues or five issues, are we going to, can we, and this is a question really, can we come back and do an issues report part two to add to this? Or is this pretty much it, and we don't want to replicate? So I just wanted to get a clarification on that. So if we found some aspects not covered, could somebody just move a motion for an additional issues report? Just wanted a question on that.
I think staff will be doing the issues report. Can you answer that?
So this is Tim. Can I just make a quick comment?
Yeah, Tim, please. Yeah.
That just from my experience on the council, I don't think there's anything that would prevent another issues report from being requested. And just because only these items are included here doesn't mean there's nothing that we intend to have nothing ongoing with the other issues that law enforcement has raised. It's just we're trying to figure out what to do with those and what's the best way forward to address those. But like I said, what we don't want to do is as we get to that point, we want to move forward on those ones. And these are ones we feel we can. Others we feel we still need some discussion before we can figure out the best way forward. That's my view.
Thanks, Tim. I'll
cut up the discussion there. There's no more hands in the queue. Hands up. And we will proceed with the vote. Is anyone opposed to a voice vote on this motion? Hearing no opposition. Glenn, would you please do a voice vote on this motion?
All those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 Is anyone opposed to the motion? Please say nay.
Yes, this is Zahid.
Nay.
Zahid?
Yes.
Is anyone else opposed to the motion?
Christina.
Yep, David.
Christina and David. Are those the only three? Is anybody abstaining from the motion? The result is, Stefan, that in the contracted party house, I heard no opposition to the motion, so it passes. In the
Then, just before you proceed, Debbie Hughes is trying to say nay and apparently is unable to, so you should probably take that into account.
Debbie, are you off the phone? I can't see that she's disconnected. Will you accept that then as a no vote, Stefan?
Yes.
I will
ask you, Glenn, to check with Debbie later that it was indeed her speaking on the chat.
Yes, I'll do that. Thank you. Then in the non-contracted party house, there are... four no votes. There are Zahid Jamil, Christina Rosette, David Taylor, and Debbie Hughes. But that is not a majority, so the motion passes.
Thank you very much, Glenn. And we will now move on to agenda item 6, which is a motion dealing with amendments to the RAA, the Registrar Accreditation Agreement, and... this is motion 4 on the wiki. It is made by Christina, seconded by Debbie, and I will ask Christina to read the resolved, please.
Sorry, I could have sworn that I just printed it. Hold on. Okay, here we go. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the GNSO Council recommends that staff adopt an amended version of the process specified as Process B in the final report, which is referencing the final report on further amendments to the RAA, to develop a new form of RAA with respect to the high and medium priority topics described in the final report. As amended herein, Process B entails, 1, the GNSO Council requests that the ICANN Office of the General Counsel review the prioritized list of topics as set forth in the final report and identify any topics that would require consensus policy development rather than RAA contract amendment. The GNSO Council requests that the Office of the General Counsel complete and publish on the ICANN website the outcome of such review and identification not later than 75 days after the date of this resolution. 2. ICANN staff will schedule a public consultation to be held at the first ICANN public meeting that occurs after completion of the review in Step 1 to provide members of the ICANN community with the opportunity to articulate their support of and or objection to the high and medium priority topics described in the final report. 3. Within 60 days after the public consultation described in Step 2, negotiations begin with a negotiating group consisting of ICANN staff and the registrar stakeholder group as a whole. 4. The negotiating group shall provide for public comment bi-monthly written reports on the status and progress of the negotiations. Such reports shall include proposed text under consideration and identify items in text agreed upon by the negotiating group. Each bi-monthly report shall identify the status of A, topics identified in the final report as higher medium priority and that were not determined in Step 1 as requiring consensus policy development, and B, proposed amendments put forth by any stakeholder group, constituency, and or advisory committee, and shall identify such topics, if any, that have been rejected by the negotiating group, collectively the rejected topics and amendments. 5. The negotiating group shall review public comments received and continue negotiations as necessary. Steps 4 and 5 shall repeat as necessary, provided, however, that the full draft of the new RAA must be posted for public comment not later than March 4, 2013. 6. Subject to the date requirement in Step 5, ICANN staff and the registrar stakeholder group shall determine when the full final draft of the new RAA is ready to be posted for public comment. The full final draft of the new RAA that is posted for public comment shall be accompanied by a detailed written explanation approved by both staff and the registrar stakeholder group that sets forth the basis for the rejection of all rejected topics and amendments. 7. The GNSO Council shall review the full final draft of the new RAA, consider public comments, and vote on approval of the draft new RAA. A supermajority vote of the GNSO Council is required to approve the new RAA. 8. If the GNSO Council approves the new RAA goes to board for approval. 9. If the GNSO Council does not approve the new RAA is sent back to the negotiating group with appropriate feedback for reconsideration. Repeat from Step 7. Resolve further that the GNSO Council recommends that this process be initiated by ICANN immediately.
Thanks very much, Christina. Is there any discussion, comments on this motion, please? I have Wolf.
This is Zahid.
I will add you to the queue, Zahid, after Wolf.
Yes, it's Wolf speaking. Thank you. We had a discussion in our constituency about that, and it turned out that some of the members, they need more time for consultation internally before they can vote on this. So this is my request, and that on behalf of the ISPCP, we would like to defer that motion to the next time, if possible. Thanks.
Thank you, Wolf. I will, I see other hands, so I think the discussion may carry on, even though we will be honoring that request and deferring the motion. Zahid, you were next.
Thank you, Stefan. In light of what Wolf has just said, I'll yield to somebody else. Thank you.
And I have no one else. Does anyone else want to comment? In which case, we will move on to item 7. This motion is deferred. Item 7 is a motion brought by Jeff Newman on the Policy Development Process Work Team, and I will ask Jeff to read just the resolved, please, and then we will discuss the motion.
Sure. So now, therefore, be it resolved, the GNSO Council recommends that the ICANN Board of Directors adopt the revised GNSO policy development process as reflected in the proposed Annex A and PDP manual as outlined in the PDP updated final report, the link. Resolved, the GNSO Council recommends that the procedures of the new Annex A shall be applicable to all requests for issue reports and PDPs initiated following adoption by the ICANN Board. For all ongoing PDPs initiated prior to the adoption by the Board, the Council shall determine the feasibility of transitioning to the procedures set forth in this Annex A for all remaining steps within the PDP. If the Council determines that any ongoing PDP cannot be feasibly transitioned to these up procedures, the PDP shall be concluded according to the procedures set forth in Annex A, in force on or before, I think it should say on or before, the adoption of the new Annex A by the Board.
Thanks, Jeff. And the motion was seconded by me. Is there any discussion, comments, questions on this motion, please? I see no hands, hearing no questions. Is there any opposition to a voice vote on this motion? I'm sorry, did someone speak? No.
I should have probably...
I'm sorry.
I was wondering if it would be possible to defer this. Is this the first time?
Is that Jonathan speaking? Sorry?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Stefan. It's Jonathan.
You would like to defer this? You have a request to defer this motion?
Yes, please. We need time to... I'm not sure we've had the opportunity to review this properly as in the registry stakeholder group.
Thank you. The motion is deferred by request from the registries, and
Seeing no further hands up, no further discussion, we will move on to agenda item 8, which is the item on the June the 20th court resolution with regards to the new GTLD program, and more specifically the request for protection for Red Cross and Olympic Committee names. This is a topic that we discussed at our previous meeting. At that meeting, we had under consideration letters from the GAC providing what looked like advice to the GNSO. And if you remember at the previous meeting, we asked for clarification of that status with regards to the GAC providing advice to the GNSO and what that specifically would entail for the GNSO. Margie has sent a note to the council list today. Not all of you maybe have had time to see it, so I will ask Margie to update us on what the note said, please.
Thank you, Stefan. It's Margie. After the council meeting, there was a request to find out information on what is the nature of GAC advice when it comes to the GNSO Council. So the email that I sent out yesterday, and it's on the council list, essentially explains that under the ICANN bylaws, there are no specific requirements or specifications on what the GNSO is to do when it receives GAC advice or how it should respond. There's no obligation for consultation or any specific procedures like there is with respect to the advice that goes to the board. However, the bylaws do say that the GAC role is to provide advice on activities as they relate to concerns of governments and particularly whether there's interaction between ICANN policies and laws and international agreements, specifically as it relates to public policy issues. And then the bylaws also say that that the GAC advice on public policy matters is to be duly taken into account, both in the formation and the adoption of the policies. So that implies that, you know, if there's advice to the GNSO Council, it's something that should be taken into account in the formulation of the policy as well, not just on the back end when the board receives the recommendation for approval. So the email, you know, points out that these, you know, these opinions should be taken seriously, just like the GNSO Council would do for advice from the at-large advisory committee or the SAC or any other advisory committee. And if it turns out that the GNSO Council doesn't take that information into account, then it might, what might end up happening is if the recommendations flow through to the board of directors and the board of directors is about ready to adopt a policy, then the GAC might then trigger its the procedures for consultation that we've seen already in the past. So essentially that's what the email talks about, and I'm happy to take any questions if any of you have questions.
Yeah, this is Thank Tim, if I could get in the queue.
Tim, please go ahead.
And maybe you can't answer this, Margie, but I guess it's just a question. You know, I guess in a way I kind of welcome the GAC advice earlier on because, again, we can take it into account. Working groups and process can take it into account, et cetera. And then perhaps, you know, the idea would be that that would minimize some of the later concerns that the community has had with how protracted things get between the GAC and the board later in the stage, you know, in later stages. My concern is that does the GAC, when they say take into account, do they mean that we heed and implement their advice? Because that may not always be the case. And if not, you know, then will they take a second stab at it later with the board? I realize that they perfectly have that right. But I guess it's just that, you know, if the GAC would be able to respond to this question, that if, you know, the GNSO Council showed that it gave appropriate consideration to it,
perhaps it wasn't fully heeded or implemented, will that at least be taken into account by the GAC before they repeat that advice to the board?
Yeah, Tim, as you suspect, I really don't have the answer to that question. I don't know what the words mean, taken into account. It doesn't sound like it means heed. And even with respect to the board of directors, they have a process that says that if it doesn't follow the GAC advice, then they go through consultation. So I don't think it necessarily goes that far. But, I don't know how the board would react if a policy came up to them that was, in violation of a GAC advice.
Thanks. Is that okay, Tim? I have Alan next.
That's fine. Thanks, Margie.
Thanks.
Yeah, I guess I'm responding to what Tim said, and the question almost translates to saying, is the GAC saying that they will ignore any rationale we give for why we're rejecting it and simply go ahead with their original request? And I don't think it's a reasonable question to ask. Presumably, they will take whatever we say, and if the GNSO refuses to follow the advice and has a rationale for it, then we will tell them, and presumably they will think about it rationally and decide whether their advice still stands or not. I don't think it's even reasonable to ask them, will you ignore any rationale we give you and press ahead with it? So I don't see how we can do anything but say we will listen to their advice and act on it as we believe appropriate. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Jeff?
Yeah, I also think there were two things in this letter. One of them was with respect to the Red Cross IOC names. The second one was with respect to their advice to not conduct a PDP. And I think they need to be treated separately.
They're actually two separate letters.
Okay, but they both came under the guise of GAC advice. I thought they actually were the same letter, but okay. In either case, they're treated separately in the sense of if the GAC says don't do a PDP, it's not like they can go to the board and then say, board, we don't like what the GNSO did by initiating a PDP. There's really nothing they could do to stop that, us conducting a PDP or not. I mean, they can tell us what they think, and that's great, and we should encourage that. But it's only the outcomes of a PDP if there are any recommendations that the GAC could really provide advice on. So I think we just need to separate those two discussions because they are two separate items.
Thanks, Jeff. Any further discussion on this? Alan?
Thank you. I have one comment on the substance of the GAC advice. In private discussions I've had, my belief is there's some belief among some parties that the advice says that if the GNSO were to follow it and adopt a policy equivalent to what they're asking for, that second-level domains such as Red Cross relief for tsunami would not be an allowed name. That is, if Red Cross is forbidden, then anything using Red Cross would be forbidden. My understanding of the current reserved names list is that it is only exact versions that are forbidden and not things containing. So I don't know what we need to do about that, but I would want to make sure if we go ahead with this that we're making sure we're addressing the right issue and not falling into a trap due to a misunderstanding of what the current reserve names list is. Thank you.
Jeff, is your hand still up?
Yeah, I forgot to mention, and Alan just kind of reminded me. So, and this kind of leads into the next item anyway. This item is one of the ones that we've proposed, or this topic that we have a discussion with the GAC on. I believe that's on Sunday, if I'm not mistaken. In Dakar. So Alan, you should ask that question. We also have a topic to pre-discuss this on Saturday within the council so that we can figure out what questions we want to ask and kind of get organized before we talk to the GAC.
Thanks, Jeff. That's very useful. And those identify the next steps that we should be taking on this. I think any further discussion?
Hi, this is Debbie.
Hi.
I just wanted to suggest that maybe if there were questions that were already pending, if we could start accumulating them now, it might make those discussions more productive when we get to Dakar.
Thanks, Wendy, for that good good suggestion. If there are questions, perhaps they can be sent to Jeff, who's in charge of the agenda for Dakar, and then posted to the list by Jeff.
Stefan, this is Zahid. Can I get in the queue?
Yes, please.
Thank you. Just wanted to say that, you know, we're looking at the launch of new GTLDs very soon, and I just wondered that, you know, the sooner we can deal with this topic and make a decision within the council of what to do with the, whether you call it the GAC advice or any information that we have received, irrespective, maybe there's some merit to it and that should be discussed within the council. So I don't want to get too much into the pedantics or, well, this is advice and should we accept it and what will it mean for the future, and more work towards, you know, well, you know, this is information of what do we do with it. Do we go ahead and do a PDB or not do a PDB, work and make a working group, et cetera, and sort of focus on that. And keep in mind that, you know, we have a very small window, a short window to do this. Just wanted to make that point. Thanks.
Thank you. Any further comments, suggestions? In which case, we will move to item 9, which is a motion on the cross-community working group drafting team and the final charter for that drafting team. The final charter drafted by that team. The motion was made by Jonathan, seconded by Carlos. And Jonathan, if I can ask you to read through this motion, which is the last one we will be considering today.
Hey, Stefan, this is Jeff. I got a kind of point of order.
Yes, please.
Yeah, so as council knows, this was, we actually need to vote on whether to consider the motion because it was, and I think we should, but because this was received technically a day late, so we need to, as a council, waive the 8-day rule for this.
Thank you for reminding me of that, Jeff, and that is absolutely correct. The motion came in one day late, so we can ask for just a voice vote of opposition or agreement. Would anyone be opposed to the council considering this motion, despite the fact that it came in a day after the deadline? Hearing no opposition, we will now consider the motion. Thanks, Jeff, once again for reminding me of doing that. And Jonathan, could you please read the results part of your motion?
Hi, Stefan, and thank you to the council for accepting that. I apologize for the fact that it was a day late. So the motion reads from the resolve clauses that the GNSO hereby approves the formation of a GNSO drafting team, which will be responsible for developing a proposed framework under which working groups jointly chartered by other SOACs along with the GNSO can effectively function and produce meaningful and timely reports and recommendations on topics that are of interest to such SOACs. Resolve further that myself, Jonathan Robinson, shall serve as the council liaison for this open working group. Resolved further, it is recognized that cross-community working group drafting team has already met informally and commenced activities in furtherance of this effort until such time as the DT can select a chair and that chair can be confirmed by the GNSO Council. The GNSO Council liaison shall act as interim chair. And resolved further that the charter attached is hereby approved for the CCWG drafting team. As specified in the charter, a status report is to be delivered at the ICAM Dakar meeting in October and a final report to be produced by the CCWG drafting team on or before the end of calendar year 2012.
Thanks very much, Jonathan. Is there any discussion on this motion, please? Hearing none, is there any opposition to a voice vote on this motion? Glenn, could you please do a voice vote on the motion?
Yes, Stefan. All those in favour of the motion, please say aye.
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 Is anybody opposed to the motion? Would anybody like to abstain? Hearing no abstentions nor opposition to the motion, Stefan, the motion passes unanimously.
Thank you very much, Glenn. That concludes our motion business for this for today, and we will now move on to discussion items. The first one is a review of our agenda for the Dakar meeting that is coming up in a few days' time now. And as I mentioned before, Jeff Newman is in charge of working on the agenda for this meeting, and he's been doing some very good work on that with Glenn and others. Thanks to you all for your efforts and your work on that agenda. And Jeff, I think you want to just take us through a very high overview of that agenda so that we can possibly ask questions or see what's going on.
Sure. And when you say in charge, just let me specify, it's more in charge of the administrative task. So this is all, the council can look at this, and then if there are additional suggestions or additional topics that we missed or things that you don't think we need to cover, please let me know. I don't in any way want you to think that I'm in charge of determining what we discuss this whole week. With that said, if you look, Glenn sent around the proposed schedule last night for some of us. You'll see that we start at 10 a.m. on Saturday. We actually did a poll to see when most of the counselors that were actually coming were arriving, and most of them had indicated that they were arriving the day before. So we did not feel like we had a threshold of people to actually move the entire meeting. Plus, there's a lot, as you can see, to cover. All the topics that you'd kind of expect that on here are, we think, on here. There's another session like we did the last time to discuss the potential motions. The goal of the weekend sessions are really to cover all of the substantive topics that will be voted on during the council meeting. We're not exactly sure what those will be at this point, since except for some of the ones that have been deferred, or we're kind of just guessing at them. We took a lot of comments from the open council group, the open meeting group, as to try to make our council meeting a little bit more exciting and interactive, and I'll talk about that after I kind of go through the weekend. So really the goal is to not be going through language at the open council meeting. It's really to kind of make it more interactive and better. So to the extent we can do that during the weekend, that's our goal. So you'll see the topics on here, things like the best practices document that's at 11:30 on that Saturday. We also have confirmed our meetings on Sunday with the board at 2 o'clock and the GAC at 3:45. The real push was to try to get the GAC and the board before the very end of the day, where everyone's just so exhausted from the weekend that they just want to move on, and really those sessions haven't been the most interactive. And so maybe by moving it up a little bit in time, we can make it that way. So does anybody have any questions kind of on the weekend schedule? Think there are topics that we've missed or there are topics on here you just don't understand what they are? Okay, Glenn, what is the date that we have to have all this? I mean, it's published now, but I guess changes can be made with the exception of the 2 o'clock meeting with the board and the 3:45 meeting with the GAC on Sunday and the Security and Stability Resilience Review Team on Sunday. I think a lot of the other things may actually be, we may actually have some latitude to move some of them around or to move things in and out. I also do want to say that we've left time open at 9 a.m. on Sunday for the council to ask any questions of the nominees for the GNSO Council Chair at that time. So we put that in there. Hopefully there'll be some nominees at that point. So I see that actually there's questions from Wolf and Wolf?
Yes, thank you, Jeff. just looking to the Saturday schedule. So on the afternoon you have in 16 a slot for the Standing Committee on Improvements. So I have to say I'm sorry I cannot be there on whole Saturday. So I will arrive Saturday night, but I will provide a written report, which is very short because we didn't see a need to meet in between. But we shall have a slot on Sunday morning to meet and to convene. So you could use this slot at 16 at 4 o'clock in the afternoon elsewhere. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Wolf. All right, we'll see what we can do with that time slot. Maybe just either add some time to another subject or maybe even break early. We'll see. I'm sure there'll be other topics that either go over or we can use that 15 minutes. Okay. Any other questions on the weekend session? All right, then the other thing I kind of wanted to raise was for the Wednesday session.
Yes, you have some questions on the chat.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Mary is asking if 30 minutes on Sunday is enough for the reserve names issue.
So 30 minutes, this is the pre-GAC conversation. It may not be, and maybe that'll bleed into... maybe we'll actually see if we can move that over to Saturday. Let's see what we can do on that. You know, hopefully we're going to have some questions before we meet with the GAC.
Okay.
All right, I'll write that down. And remember, we also have a lunchtime discussion that day. About our, it says working lunch for meeting with the board. It could also mean to discuss what we're going to go over with the GAC if we have time.
Sorry, Jeff, this is Glenn. If that reserve names space is too short, couldn't we go into the break?
We could. I know how when we say that formally, we anger the hosts when we say that because the hosts do tend to provide refreshments or they want you to kind of go out and into the hallways and stuff. So I think we can, but we shouldn't formally say that.
Okay.
Okay. Is there any other questions on the chat? Let's see.
No, there's nothing else.
Okay, so the Wednesday session, there was some good dialogue during the Singapore session, and also during the there was some discussion by email on a I won't call it a working group list, although I guess maybe technically it was. There was some email discussions back and forth about things that we could do, getting more interactive. And so the thought I had for this. And I'm going to reach out, if the council thinks this is okay, I'm going to reach out to the stakeholder group and constituency leaders. Is, you know, something we used to do, and this was recommended again, was have an update given by the constituency leaders about the activities of Constituency Day and specifically focusing maybe on any motions that are pending within the council, is to kind of give a few minutes to each constituency to get up to the mic. Either their leadership can do it or someone that they elect to appoint to do that for them, to basically update the council on their activities, things that may be interesting, but also kind of focus on the motions that are pending as to whether there's a position by that constituency or stakeholder group. I know that there may be some constituencies that may be absent, but maybe there's remote participation that someone can do that from remotely. So we thought that might be a good idea to kind of ask and gauge the interest of the stakeholder constituency group leadership to do. There were a number of different ways that we thought about doing this, which is give each constituency equal time to do it. Then there was a question of, you know, well, do we want to hear from the stakeholder groups as opposed to the constituencies? My thought was to just at this meeting try it with the constituencies as opposed to the stakeholder groups. to kind of give everyone, you know, an equal time to do that. Any thoughts on taking like an hour, the first hour of the public forum to do that, and then also provide time for questions either from council members or from whoever's in the audience to ask questions? Christina, you have a question?
I do, and it's very appealing, but I'm just kind of wondering logistically, given that we don't know now what motions we're actually going to have. I mean, we know some of them, but we don't know any that might be new. Are we really going to be in a position to cover all of that in an hour? Because my only concern about doing it would be that I would be reluctant to do it unless we're going to be able to cover everything.
Well, so we will know the motions by that time, and then you'll also have constituency day. You know, again, it's kind of just, you kind of have to pick and choose which motions to comment on. If you have no comments on, for example, the PDP, when that comes up, then there's obviously no reason to make a statement or to do that. It's really to kind of, I hear what you're saying, and maybe an hour, you know, actually when I said an hour, it's really kind of an hour to an hour and a half, if you include questions from the audience and from counselors. So hopefully that'll be enough time. It's just something to try out for this meeting. If it turns out it's not enough time, you know, maybe we'll do something different for the meeting afterwards.
All right, thanks.
Does any counselor have any kind of reaction to doing that, to me reaching out to the leadership of the constituencies to see if they'd be willing to kind of get up to the mic or appoint someone to get up to the mic and kind of give us that kind of update? Okay, great. And I think, Glenn, we have the contact information of all the constituencies to reach out to them. The only one I may not have right now is the new NPOC one, but I'm sure someone can give me that if you don't have it.
I'll send you that all together, Jeff.
Great. All right, so I'll reach out to do that. Again, the goal is to try to make it more interactive. We also, once it gets closer to the time period of when we know what's going to be on the agenda, we'll create some other opportunities for comment for the public to comment during these meetings, and maybe even constituency leaders can weigh in on those subjects too. It's kind of hard for us to plan out the agenda of the council meeting before we actually finish this meeting up. So in the next few days, we'll try to plan out the topics. And again, if anyone has any motions that they know they're going to make, even if they don't have the exact wording, if they could kind of reach out to me so that we know at least the topics of what they're going to be on, so we can kind of know what else to put on the agenda or what time we may need to allot during the weekend. My main goal is to try to adhere to the recommendation that we do not do the wordsmithing of motions during the open council meeting, that we really do all of that during the weekend. That's my main goal.
Thanks, Jeff. Moving on to 10.2 then. And you'll recall that we discussed in Singapore when we met with the CCNSO the possibility of interacting with the CCNSO to a greater extent. And we did actually identify two areas on which we could work with them more closely. One was on the strategic plan and the ICANN budget, and the other was on community working groups. Since then, we've been very busy, and this item has kind of fallen to the wayside. So I wanted to put it back on the agenda, and maybe now there won't be much discussion on it, but just to make sure we stay aware of this, perhaps it's something that we want to discuss once again with the CCNSO during our meeting with the Mindacar, so it fits in well with the agenda review that Jeff has just provided for us. But so far, we really haven't worked very much on this. And
If there are ideas or suggestions on how to take this forward, I think that would be very useful. Jonathan.
Thanks, Stefan. I guess it's that I have one question and one comment. First question is this something that the CCNSO raised with you, or is this something you just had on a sort of list? I'm just curious as to whether they've brought it up and said, you know, about that promise you made us, we haven't heard much from you, or is this something you've just sort of diligently picked up as an action item that looks like it's missing? So that's the question.
Let me answer that. It's a good question. The CCNSO hasn't reached out to me since Singapore specifically on this. This is something that I've had on the agenda for the past two meetings, I think, and I've had to remove it from the agenda every time because our meetings have been so full. So I've just been kind of pushing it off from one meeting to the next, and I was keen to get it into this meeting's agenda. But it's not a request. The CCNSO hasn't contacted me and asked me what we're doing with this specifically.
Okay, great. So that's helpful. So to that extent, they're equally guilty, if you like. They haven't exactly come back to us either and said so. Now, my practical suggestion is maybe you could, if you would be so kind, or otherwise, I guess I could do it, but it would be great if you could reach out to them and say, look, we're going to have a session on Thursday morning on the community working groups, and just sort of at least formally let them know or you know, get across to them that we will be taking this forward in a very open way, and they're very, we'd welcome any either structured or individual participation in the cross community working groups activity. And I guess the second is on the budget and the work. They were really, you know, if you like, ahead of us. They were very comprehensive and thorough, and they seem to have, you know, got the bit between their teeth on this one. So really, it would be great to hear from them on that. That's the one where we think they're the experts and have dug into it. So we'd love to hear an update from them on that. So those would be my two suggestions. You know, we invite them, we inform them as to what we're doing on CWGs, encourage and invite them to participate, and with respect to the other topic, encourage and invite them to update us on what's going on. Thanks, Stefan.
Yeah, thanks, Jonathan. Those two very good suggestions. And my suggestion would be to take those two, make them discussion items that we can put in our agenda ahead of the car for the lunch that we have with the CCNSO, and I can also send the information on Thursday's CWG session, as you suggested, to Leslie to make sure that the CCNSO is fully aware of that. Any further comments? Now, Jeff, I'm not sure 10.3 is needed because you did mention that you have incorporated the Open Council meeting drafting team's work into the schedule, but is there anything else that you feel we need to say on this?
Not on this, but I do want to go over just real quickly. We do have Saturday night, I think, reserved for a GNSO Council dinner. We are trying... ICANN staff is actually was instructed to not get as involved as they've been in setting up the dinner, and so we're trying to arrange for it. But the first issue is that a lot of people don't want to go outside of the hotel to restaurants in the city, especially after dark. We're trying to get some information from the hotel to see what it would cost us, what we'd have to pay to have dinner at the hotel, like some sort of buffet style, but the hotel has, let's just say, not been the most responsive to that request. So we have the time reserved. We're doing our best. I'm not sure we're going to use it or not, but we're going to try to get something arranged. That's it.
Okay. So thanks, Jeff, for that update. Any questions? Jonathan, is your hand still up?
Sorry, Stefan. No, except that, I mean, I guess My only suggestion would be that I hear what Jeff's probably got all sorts of practical issues he's got to deal with, but the hotel can recommend somewhere nearby that they if they have a recommendation, that may be, I would trust that as somewhere we can go that's safe nearby. You know, there may be somewhere just around the corner we can go to. So that's just, but no, I'll put my hand down. Thanks, Steph.
Thank you, Jonathan. So I'm not seeing any further questions on this. We will move to our last agenda item for the day, which is an item on the best practices discussion paper, and we have an update from Marika on this. Marika, can you give us that update, please?
Yeah, this is Marika. The update actually is going to be relatively short, because as you'll have seen on the schedule, time has been foreseen in Dakar, I think, on the Saturday to discuss the paper in more detail and have a broader discussion around it. The main reason to have it here on the agenda is just to note that, you know, we submitted the paper last week. It has taken into account the feedback we received from the community as part of the workshop we organized in Singapore. And the main question I think we have at the moment is whether the council would like to open a public comment period on the report to get some further input, especially I think on the issues we've raised in the report, as well as some of the next steps we're recommending. And also to see if the council, we've provisionally reserved a workshop on this topic for the Dakar meeting, so we'd like to get some guidance indeed whether we should go ahead with that and have that workshop in view of having a public comment period, or whether the council feels that at this stage it's not required and you prefer to discuss it first as a council and then decide on next steps first.
Thanks, Marika. Any comments on that? Christina?
Just a very quick question. Marika, what is the downside, if any, to having public comment period on the report?
This is Marika. There's no real downside. The only downside might be that, of course, then it will take a bit more time before the council can act, because as well, taking into the car meeting, I think you would be looking at least a 45-day public comment period. It will take us some time to summarize. But I think it's fair to give the community an opportunity to review and provide input, as the document itself hasn't been published before.
Great, thank you. I mean, I don't know that we have time to decide this now or discuss it much further, but I'd be inclined to support putting it out for public comment.
Thanks, Christina. Jeff?
Yeah, so I think ultimately something will go out for public comment, but from a registry perspective, and again, this is not a slight at ICANN staff at all, but this issue report was drafted completely by ICANN staff without consulting any registries or registrars as to what they think are best practices or how to do this, and I just thought it was kind of bizarre to have an issue or paper that's supposed to address best practices of registries and registrars, and no registries and registrars were consulted. So from a registry perspective, I don't think this paper is ready to go out for public comment. I think that we need to kind of fine-tune it a little bit. Because I thought there was if you look at the paper, there's a very high reliance on groups like the Anti-Phishing Working Group, which, again, they don't really have anyone there that runs a registry or registrar. I would have liked to have seen the registries and registrars consulted with while drafting this issue paper. And again, the staff could disagree with the registries and registrars, but it was kind of it's almost like writing a paper on intellectual property issues without consulting an intellectual property attorney, right? It's not ready for prime time yet in my view as a registry. But again, we haven't discussed this with the other registries, and so the stakeholder group may take a different position. I don't know.
Thanks, Jeff. Marika.
Yeah, this is Marika. I don't think that's a completely accurate characterization that we've just written this without talking to anyone or consulting anyone, because we did organize a workshop on the topic in Singapore. We did have representation from the different constituency and stakeholder groups on the panel, whose feedback we've taken into account and referred to on several occasions in the paper. But perfectly happy to accept that, the council or the different groups want to have more time to review and possibly add further information or maybe questions before it goes out to public comment. I have no issue with that. And my only question would still be, because I think on the public comment period, I mean, that doesn't need to be open now. The main question from my perspective now is, should we go ahead with the workshop in Dakar? And that could just be, you know, an overview of the paper as it is, and then, you know, leave at the middle what kind of public comment period would be opened, or if that is still considered premature and no need to have such a session at this stage.
Thank you, Marika. Any further comments?
Yeah, Stefan, this is Jeff. I mean, I think, yeah, we should have a workshop on it. I don't see an issue with that. I didn't mean to say that we shouldn't discuss it. I think the workshop should touch some of the areas, at least the topics that are in the issue, or in the discussion paper. I just want to respond also to Marika that, you know, there are areas, and yes, you did talk to, there was a workshop on it, but I do think that, you know, there's a bunch of staff recommendations in there in the discussion paper, which to me would have been better to actually talk to the registries and registrars that it involves rather than having just recommendations. But I do think we should have a workshop on there. And again, the registries may have a completely different viewpoint than me. So I just believe that before something goes out formally for public comment from the GNSO Council, it should be something that the Council is behind and it is ready to go out for comment.
Thanks, Jeff. And I'll just point out that on the chat, Christina, John, and Carlos support the workshop. And Liz, you have your hand up.
I just wanted to respond to Jeff that I do think that you know, when you give staff a report to write, staff does take all the input we can and writes the report. And if it's if you intended to have a community-written report, you should ask for that. That's, you know, we have three more issue reports coming. That was a discussion paper. I just think it's important to understand, you know, we write based on the input that we have, and, you know, that is, we're writing as staff. That's what the directive from the council requests. So please, if you want something else in terms of the outcome or expect your outcomes to include things, please specify them in your requests in the motions. It's really, I'm trying to say this consistently across all our motions for staff. When you ask staff to do an issue report or a discussion paper or anything, it's a generic comment. Please be as specific as you can about what you really want staff to say and do. I appreciate the broad scope in these, but we are really, the broader the scope, the more, you know, we are attempting to respond to something that's not as clearly defined as you might like. Thanks.
Thank you, Liz. Jeff, do you still have your hand up?
Yeah, I was just going to respond to that. I mean, when staff has something to write, I mean, I'm assuming some, you know, there's research involved, and maybe we do need to be more specific, I guess. But I would just have thought that if you're writing about a topic, then you consult experts in that area when you write about it, and it's not just written by staff. Again, it was not a bad job at all, and I don't mean this to be an attack on staff. It's just I don't think the paper is ready to go out for public comment was my main comment, and that I just think that there's just some work that needs to be done before it's something that's introduced by the council to be out there in the public eye.
Okay, thank you. Any further comments? Is there any other business? In which case, it is now 16:56 UTC, and I will bring this meeting to a close. Thanks to you all, and speak to you or see you in Dakar. Have a safe flight out, and speak to you very soon. Bye-bye. Thanks.
Bye-bye, everybody.